Kevin and Tiki here on this summer Tuesday. We'll play a game of Posted and Toasted coming up in a half hour. Plus, the Knicks have had a great offseason. There is one more piece that if they could acquire, and it's sort of realistic, to me, they become a legitimate championship contender. We'll get to that coming up at about 4 o'clock. The Yankee recent struggles, we'll get back to your Met calls in a couple minutes, 888-808-1019, but the Yankee recent struggles has certainly caused many to panic and think this is 2022 all over again. 2022 is the year where they were started 61-23. They were a juggernaut, and then they collapsed, and they finished 18-31. And granted, they won the division, and they made the playoffs, and they won a round, and they got to the ALCS. But I think that season is most remembered not only for, you know, Aaron Judge, but is also remembered for getting swept by the Astros and collapsing down the stretch of the season. And I've heard this a lot, and I understand why. This is 2022 all over again. There are two really important reasons why it's not. Number one, I think, is the obvious, and that is this team's better. Like, look at the rotation the Yankees had. Look at the lineup the Yankees were trotting out there during their struggles last in 2022, compared to the lineup and the rotation they have now. As down as you may be on aspects of this Yankee team, Isaiah Conner-Falefa is not the everyday shortstop. Josh Donaldson is not the everyday third baseman. And Juan Soto exists.
Yes, instead of Aaron Hicks.
Yes. So that's one huge thing. But there's something else that I think is also pretty damn important. When the New York Yankees hit their roadblock, I'll tell you the exact date. They were 70-34, and they were 12 games up in the American League East on August 2nd. And then the Yankees started losing and losing and losing and losing. And it was bad. I think they lost 13 out of 15, if you want to get exact. And all of a sudden, that lead in the American League East started to dip and dip. And it got interesting. I think the closest they ever got was 4.
Yeah.
But they started to really tread water. Not even tread water, but take water. But here's the difference. Did you notice the date I used?
Yeah.
August 2nd.
Yes.
They were in jail. Like, the trade deadline had passed. So there was no opportunity for Brian Cashman to say, hey, wow, things are going really, really bad, far worse than any of us could have thought. Maybe we should do something about it. This Yankee team, who is struggling, they've lost 16 out of 22, have 3 weeks to do something. And that's far different than the prison Brian Cashman was in late in 2022 when they started to just be awful and it was too late to do anything.
Yeah, the beauty of right now. And I think the circumstances feel different as well because in that 2022 season, it was, I guess it was must win, but it wasn't like must win like it is right now with Juan Soto's pending deal hanging over their head, right? And the fact that, as you mentioned at the end of last year, Garrett Cole's only getting a year older. Aaron Judge is another year removed that they don't from winning a championship or being in position to win a championship. So this year, more than I think any of the previous ones, feel like must win. Feel like you have to do something, especially if there is a glaring deficiency that can be fixed. And so right now, Brian Cashman, even though it's flying under the radar in New York because of the Mets bullpen issues, is probably under as much and more pressure than David Stearns to go find a solution to what ails this Yankee team right now.
Well, I think what makes it complicated with the Yankees is that if we opened up the phones to just simply, who do you want them to add at the trade deadline, we get 150 different answers.
Yeah.
And I think that doesn't mean the Yankees are bad. Like, you hear that and you say, oh, they must suck if you need 100 different things. They don't. They just can use bodies, good, solid depth bodies. And I mentioned, I brought this up 3 weeks ago, and I bring names to this. And I mentioned Luis Renjifo, who now is starting to get a lot of attention. I think Jeff Passan referred to him yesterday as a Yankee trade target. Yeah, because he makes sense.
Yeah.
He's a middle infielder who's hit this season. Guys like that, they're not household names, but I equate this trade deadline to what the Braves did in 2021. And this Yankee team, to me, better than that Brave team in 2021. The Braves won the World Series that year, by the way. But what they did is they added 4 guys, none of them stars, and they hit on almost all of them.
Right.
All of a sudden, Eddie Rosario is winning the NLCS MVP.
Yeah, but it's guys who are veterans and know how to win in certain situations, but also it's exactly what you needed.
Yes.
Right? It's exactly
what. Isn't that what the Yankees
need? And it's exactly where the Yankees are. They need they have depth issues, right? They have age issues at some spots. They have injury issues at other spots. And so I'm not saying go find a guy to replace Giancarlo Stanton, because actually, as you mentioned yesterday, and I saw another article today about it, you could trace it all back to Giancarlo Stanton with his 230 batting average.
3-10 since Giancarlo got hurt.
But he was so clutch.
Yeah, yeah.
And almost all the situations, he was providing that's like secret weapon for this team. So you're not replacing him, but maybe you're taking some of the stress off of him.
No doubt.
And so, like, the depth really matters when it comes to this Yankee team because of some of the age and unreliability of some of the guys they count on, including, most importantly, I think, Giancarlo Stanton.
Luis Renjifo, Jazz Chisholm, Kevin Pillar. These are some of the names. I think Brian Cashman's going to add two or three guys. I think he's going to add multiple guys, but that's the beauty of this year compared to 2022. And I know we love to do comparisons. I do it all the time as well. But it's not 2022. A, you're better. I really believe that. Go back and look at the lineups and even the rotation, but more so the lineup in August of 2022. And as down as you are on this Yankee lineup, you'll still walk away thinking this one's better. And then you're not locked. Brian Cashman has 3 weeks. 3 weeks from today is the day. I can't wait. I love the trade deadline.
Yeah.
We're going to be on the air. Nobody's on vacation. I think the trade deadline is at 6 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. So we're going to run through that trade deadline, and then we got to go to Yankee baseball. So if there's a trade at 6:01, really 5:59, we'll only have like 8 or 9 minutes to break it down. But you know what? That's fine.
It's all good.
It's all good.
We'll do it.
But the Yankees and Brian Cashman have been given a luxury that they did not have in 2022, and that is time. Time to fix this.
Yes.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. John in Staten Island. What's up, John?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you today?
All good. Good, man. What's up?
Listen, I'm a huge Mets fan. I've called you before. This is my mindset on the Mets right now. I think David Stearns has to do, like, a lot of, like, movement as far as, like, businessman. Number one, addition by subtraction. You got to sell Severino if he's your best asset, but they got to pick up Sevy, and I'll just take, like, a middling reliever. Mm-hmm. Then you got to – we have, like, 8 catchers. Everyone wants catchers. We have, like, 8 of them. I know Parada's hurt. Got to get rid of one of them or two of them, and we got to get another reliever. You can't sell the farm because I honestly don't think the team is that good. But we got to get McNeil out of here, and instead of doing what he did with Scherzer and Verlander, where you're paying for prospects, now you got to try to sell them because he's miserable. Everyone loves Iglesias. You think McNeil isn't like Robert Loggia in The Sopranos when there's that scene that Carmilla tells Tony, like, everyone's laughing because they're your friends. And then he thinks back and he sees everyone laughing at a dumb joke. And Robert Loggia's got, like, the dirty eyes.
What?
That is Jeff McNeil. He's kind of
hate that. I know what that means.
Can you explain that to me?
I can't because I don't know Sopranos well enough.
Loggia, you watch The Sopranos?
Well enough to know that scene.
I think it's saying, yeah, you're saying people are laughing at you because out of fear, out of respect. You know what I mean?
What?
Instead of that, something's really funny. Evan, if you were around Mike Francesa back in the day and he made a bad joke, you're young in the business, you'd
laugh to make him
feel good instead of being like, man, that joke really sucked because what are you saying to me, kid?
What are you talking about? I ran into something uncomfortable with Mike early on. Mike was fascinated by the fact that I had a date that night. So he's like, oh, you got a date tonight, kid? Because I was like 22 years old. I was dating a lot.
What's wrong with that?
He's like, oh, so you got a date tonight. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, let me tell you something. When I was your age, I would date 3 girls at the same time, okay? Now, I thought he was joking, so I laughed, and he responded, I'm not joking. You think I'm kidding? You think I'm joking about that kid? 3 girls at the same time, okay? And I was like, wow, that must cost you a lot. He's like, yeah, no problem. I mean, it wasn't a problem. I would date 3 girls at the same time. Dating, by the way, dating 3 girls
I assume he means on different nights.
Yeah, like,
The 4 of them would go out to Applebee's.
Yeah. He had 3 girlfriends.
I wasn't sure. I took it as he had a 6 o'clock date, he had a 9 o'clock date, and he had 11 o'clock
date. He's over there, Tito Wooten knew it.
It's like an NFL Sunday, different start times.
Let's go to Dan in Troy, New York. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. I just want to keep things in perspective for people who are down on Francisco Lindor. It was just a short 9 years ago that I had to watch freaking Wilmer Flores play shortstop in the World Series for the Mets. So anybody who's got anything bad to say about Lindor needs to wake up and realize what we're watching every single day. He's trending toward the Hall of Fame, and he will go in with a Mets hat on if these numbers stay consistent.
Well, yeah, if they get a win and they all these other things, you're right. Because he is a great fielder, and he's pretty damn good at being a leadoff hitter right now. And he's pretty consistent in getting you your 30 or 30 every single season, right? 100 or close to 100 RBI.
Yeah. He's so right about something. And I know he said something that there are people listening and they're going to like go nuts about. Like, he's going in as a Met. He was better in Cleveland. And by the way, he was better in Cleveland, right? Like, if you look at his career numbers in Cleveland and you look at some of his best seasons in Cleveland, they have been better than his seasons with the Mets. There's no debate, no debate whatsoever. But it's all about perspective and it's all about timing. We do not, in this town, sometimes appreciate really good players until they're no longer playing for us. And I've seen that firsthand. I've seen that with, I'll give you a baseball example, Mike Piazza.
Mm-hmm.
All of you people now, oh, Mike, we love him. You crapped on him when he was here. You complained he wasn't clutch when he was here, even though he was. You complained about the money when he was here. And then his career ended. He wasn't a Met anymore. We lionize him. And by the way, much like Lindor, goes in the Hall of Fame as a Met.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, where were his best seasons?
Yeah.
L.A.
Yes.
So Francisco Lindor, if he continues this trajectory, will play more years with the Mets than Cleveland. He spent 6 years in Cleveland. This is his fourth year with the Mets.
Yep.
He obviously has a really long contract. He will end up playing 10 years with the Mets, 6 years with Cleveland. And I do agree with you. If he can do what Mike did, which is just get to a World Series, have a deep playoff run, you're right. He'll go into the Hall of Fame as a New York Met. Even you, by the way, Tiki, I'll use you as an example. I listen to the way callers talk to you now. I was also on this radio station talking about you as a player. And it's not that people didn't like you. People didn't appreciate you, just like they didn't appreciate Mike Piazza, just like they didn't appreciate Patrick Ewing. But what do they say now about Mike Piazza?
Yeah.
What do they say to you?
Yeah, right.
What do they say to Patrick? Dude, it happens all the time. So trust me, many years from now, since Loogie is the future, he'll be breaking it down.
Yeah.
He'll
say, this is why I'm the future.
He'll say, I remember when you guys used to hate Lindor.
Yeah.
Now you love him.
I mean, let's be real. Time is the greatest evaluator of history. It just, because it makes it, keeps it in perspective.
But do you feel that way about yourself?
Of course.
All right, so
without,
you see that too.
Right. But I also think I'm extraordinarily lucky because WFAN, and prior to that, CBS Sports Radio, but less so for New Yorkers because nobody could hear us in New York. But once I came to WFAN, people hear me and they get to know me as opposed to just speculating on who I am, right? Just basing it on whatever story was written about me in the New York Post or what they interpreted from my playing career. Now they can hear it from me.
Right.
And if you ask, I'll tell you, good or bad, doesn't matter. Like, I'm way past caring.
There are very few athletes. And by the way, I think Eli is the same way. I think, I mean, on this radio station, oh my God, would he get crapped on?
Yeah.
Like, I think Eli's
But now you would really appreciate
100%.
His consistency.
Yes.
Dude, he played every damn game.
100%.
He was never unavailable. And that is worth something, especially with the history of the giant quarterback situation since he left.
No doubt. And that's why, like, while Eli was playing, there was always debate about him. Now that he no longer plays, it's universal love. There are very few athletes, and I'll name a few off the top of my head, but they're rare, who you fully appreciate while they're here. I think Derek Jeter was one of them.
Yeah.
I do, because they were winning so much, and he was great, and he was Mr. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's one of those rare athletes that didn't need time to make people appreciate him. But most others.
Yeah, most of those Yankees you could put in that category. But, like, Patrick Ewing wasn't. I wasn't paying attention at that time,
bro, trust
obviously.
Me.
But I've just heard the story.
Yep.
It took time. Right? There hasn't been a guy like Patrick Ewing since then. So, I mean, the Mets, maybe.
No, David Wright used to get crapped on too. Ask Licata, he'll tell you. He was one of them. and he admits it. Like, and that's okay. Like, sometimes you don't appreciate players until they're no longer here. That'll happen with DeGrom, too.
Yeah.
DeGrom took a lot of heat on the way out. I know what it'll look like.
But he took heat
like
on the way out. But I was just that's what I was thinking of. Wasn't he appreciated when he was here?
No, he was never appreciated.
Trust me.
Never. No, everybody thought Harvey was better because he hung out with supermodels and was perhaps better looking. But people liked other pitchers before
I always felt like he was the must-see pitcher. right? Because you like he might lose the game, but he's going to throw a one-hitter.
Even though his dominance was better than Matt's dominance, Matt Harvey created more of a buzz in New York City than Jacob DeGrom. And by the way, that's a part of why I became such a DeGrom stan.
Yeah.
Because the disrespect was in front of me, and I couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
And I started to appreciate him even more. But it is rare for an athlete in this town. How about Judge?
I know one.
Is Judge being appreciated right now?
Yeah.
Think he is.
It would help it a whole lot if he had postseason success.
Yeah.
The one that was obvious is Curtis Martin. Curtis Martin was absolutely appreciated.
Yeah, we loved him. You're right.
Absolutely. He's a Hall of Famer. And you knew it every time he touched the football.
I agree.
We knew it as opponents. Like, he's not flashy. He's not going to look like he's doing anything. But when the game is over, he's going to have 22 carries and 108 yards.
Yes.
And maybe a touchdown every single game.
And that's probably the only football player in the last 30 years, because I don't think they appreciated you. I don't think they appreciated Eli. I'm thinking with the Jets.
Maybe Revis. Strahan. Maybe Strahan.
Not till the end.
Yeah,
Strahan was criticized so much. Here's when it all ended for him, when they won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And he became, obviously, one of the faces of it. And that was his last game in his NFL career.
Good point.
So, yeah, he got appreciated, all right?
No, you're probably right. You're probably right.
It took until the end.
It didn't last years.
Right. It was the very end of his career. So, look, I'm not putting Lindor in the class of those athletes. It's just more of an example that we don't tend to appreciate really good to great players while they're here. And we forget, but Mike Piazza, to me, was a poster boy of that. He took a lot of heat when he was here. We forget that. I know some are listening thinking that's not true. Trust me. You're just reinventing your own history.
Even Lundqvist.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, isn't a big part of that? They didn't win. And fans just want to win, right?
But that's the point. That's the point. It's like you didn't appreciate how good of a goalie Lundqvist was, because the only thing you wanted for him was to bring you a championship.
Yes.
And when he couldn't do it, you hated on him.
I think that answers all of the guys we mentioned except for Eli Manning.
Right.
Because he did win. And he was still facing
that's
that kind of heat.
Yes.
No doubt. We got a new edition of Posted and Toasted coming up. We'll also get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And coming up right at 4 o'clock, I promise. This one pains me. I admit it. But I'm an IBO. The final piece to the New York Knicks puzzle. Evan and Tiki here on this Tuesday in New York City. The Mets are back home tonight after a 4-4 road trip, getting set to take on the Washington Nationals. And the Yankees are down in Tampa. And the Yankees have played well against the Rays this season, 4-2. And I really believe that this is where the Yankees fix their season. This is where the turnaround starts. And it starts back at the old spring training facility. It's actually across the No, that's not across the street. Raymond James is across the street. It's what I don't like about the Yankee spring training facility. It's in the middle of a city.
Yeah.
And the beauty of spring training is that you're in the middle of bumble bleep nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Except the Yankees. They're like a big town team.
Well, I mean, that Tampa facility used to be terrible.
I mean, where the Bucks played?
Where the Bucks were.
Yeah.
Across the street. And it was basically just a construction lot.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Now it's great.
Now it's fantastic.
Raymond James is awesome. The Yankee facilities are beautiful. It's not a knock on the facilities. Mm-hmm. You know what it is? The Yankees are too Yankees-like. It's too official. It's too beautiful. It's too pretty. Spring training is supposed to be dirty.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be disgusting.
Actually, it's actually fantastic for the players, though.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Because they could go live in a town. Like, CeCe had a house down there. It was actually in the same neighborhood as where my brother's house was.
Right.
So every time we'd go see Rondé, we'd go see Amber and CeCe during the summer.
You're saying that a professional
spring,
athlete
would
rather live in Tampa in this beautiful real city than Port St. Lucie, Florida?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
So they could go buy real estate as opposed to just staying in a hotel or some Airbnb or something.
I get that. The baseball stadium is not even close, though. It's over a bridge, and it's in like the middle of nowhere. I went there once, and it felt like I was going to a mall. It was really, really disturbing. Anyhow, more on the Yankees a little bit later on. We'll get back to your calls in a second. But right now, 3:30 on a Tuesday. It's been away for a few weeks, but it's back. A new edition of Posted and Toasted.
It's time for Posted and Toasted.
That's right. That's where we read the old tweets of some of our fellow WFAN coworkers, and Tiki Barber will guess who posted it, and we decide if we want to toast them. Are you ready?
I am.
This is from October 10th, 2014. Guess what? Life's not fair. Cancel the pity party and go be successful anyway.
Hmm.
Who posted that?
October 24th.
Was that Jerry Recco, Tiki Barber, Boomer Esiason, or Al Dukes?
I'm going to say that's thought out. That was me. kiss ass.
Look at you remembering your old tweet from a decade ago.
Well, I mean, because it's thought out.
So what you're saying
it's
is
not emotionally written.
So you're saying the others wouldn't have thought that one out? I mean, it's very inspirational. Life's not fair. Cancel the pity party and go be successful anyway.
I wonder what I was talking about.
Yeah, like what provoked you on October 10th, 2014 to say that?
October 10th.
Football?
2014.
It was at 5:50 in the afternoon. Can you check if that was a football Sunday? Because I don't think it has anything to do with anything other than football or maybe something happened in your life.
I mean, in 2014, I was here. I was at CBS Sports Radio. I don't know.
Can we confirm that was a football Sunday?
It was a football Friday.
A football Friday?
Mm.
And this was during your show, because weren't you on in the afternoons?
No, I wasn't at that point.
Sorry.
I think I was in the morning bid.
That would have been even better. He's like, yeah, I'm just tweeting inspirational things. All right, that's post number one. Let's go to post number two. This is also from 2014. We're feeling very 2014-like. June 21st, so a little bit past the 10-year anniversary of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding New York City subway musicians. I feel like if I make eye contact, I owe them a donation, so I avoid it at all costs.
Huh. Well, who takes the subway? This is going to narrow it down a lot.
Was that Sean Morash?
Could be Sean, because he does take the subway.
Evan Roberts.
You don't take the subway.
I used to.
No, you didn't, so stop.
In 2014, I think I did, actually.
Stop.
Was it Al Dukes, or was it Tommy Lugauer?
Oh. I think this was Sean Morash.
You're wrong.
Oh, then it was Tommy.
You're wrong.
Al Dukes?
Al Dukes.
A nice round ass.
Who I don't even think takes the subway.
I know.
But he makes... Look, here's the thing about Al. Al is one of the most brilliant people that works here. Because while he may not know a lot about sports, mm-hmm. as Craig certainly proved, overrated, not important. Congratulations to Craig. He's going into the New York Broadcast Hall of Fame.
I saw that.
And
congrats,
he doesn't know
Craig.
Anything about sports. I'm just kidding. I mean, a little bit.
He does a lot of it's not sports broadcasting Hall
That's
of Fame.
That's true. Nah, he's a great broadcaster and he deserves it. I'm happy for him. So congratulations to Craig. But Al makes a lot of points that people don't think about,
mm-hmm.
but are actually true when you do give it thought.
Mm.
And so he's right.
Very prescient.
If you're on the subway or you're anywhere and there are musicians playing for a tip, not a tip, for a donation,
mm-hmm.
however you want to phrase it.
Yeah.
Once you make eye contact, you've made a commitment.
Or not even, no, I don't think so. It's not eye contact that causes the commitment to pony up some money. It's appreciating it. So if you stand there and you listen, then you feel obligated.
And you feel like you owe them the money at that point because you just listen to the music.
Yes, eye contact, no. But appreciating it, yes.
What's appreciation? 10 seconds?
Yeah. Like just attention. Like so, you give it attention.
Yeah. I think as soon as there's eye contact made, I feel like, oh my God.
No.
I have to give the money.
I don't think so.
Which is normally not a big deal. Like I don't mind giving the money. My problem is I don't walk around with cash anymore.
Mm.
So unless I go up to the person and say, do you accept Venmo? Which is likely going to be a no.
I mean,
a loser.
Actually,
I can't give you anything.
They might.
Can you imagine that?
At this point, they probably do.
What's the term strap handler? Is that the phrase?
No, that's someone who takes a subway.
Who is performing?
No. That's a subway rider.
Oh, wait. A strap handler is just a subway rider?
I think it's hanger. Because you're holding onto the strap.
Can you look that up?
There used to be straps on the subway. So if you take the subway.
Strap hanger.
Yeah, you'd hang on to the strap.
So that's not referring to somebody who's performing an art in the subway to try to get money?
It's a standing passenger in a subway, streetcar, bus, or train who clinks for support.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the proper phrase to describe somebody that's performing some kind of...
A street musician?
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that.
An aspiring actor.
All right, let's go to post number three. This one is from, actually, relatively recent. Not that long ago. It's about a year and a half ago. It's January 24th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this one?
I am.
This is going to cause a lot of controversy. So to this person, and again, maybe it's me, I apologize, but you put this out there. After watching another marathon, here are the correct Rocky movie rankings. Number one, Rocky 2. Number two, Rocky. Number three, Rocky Balboa. Number four, Rocky IV. Number five, Rocky V. And number six, Rocky III. First of all, I mean, those rankings suck. But let's guess who put those rankings out there. Was it Sean Morash, Sal Licata, Brandon Tierney, or Greg Giannotti?
Brandon Tierney.
You're wrong.
Oh. It's not Brandon Tierney.
Who was it, Sal Licata?
I can't take it anymore.
The reason I was so confident it was Brandon Tierney is because I feel like he put out a tweet exactly like
that. Oh, did he?
Yes.
Well,
very,
we have to,
very similar.
We need to
I know we talked about this on air.
Really?
So I just assumed that he tweeted it as well.
All right, now I'm going to look this up. I'm going to go to my special function that allows me to clearly search the old tweets of our fellow co-workers. All right, Rocky. I've searched Rocky under Brandon. The Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets. The first thing that says Rocky is the Brooklyn Nets? The Brooklyn Nets. I got to read this now.
No, you do, because I'm curious.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is bad.
Okay.
Brandon, I love you. I appreciate you saying this, but you talk about going wrong. The Brooklyn Nets are a perfect example of how to build a winning culture. Hire people you believe in.
I was wrong. The Nets still in the league.
I only did this to search for Rocky. We'll get to the Rocky part. The Brooklyn Nets are a perfect example of how to build a winning culture. Hire people you believe in, empower them, and lay out. Trust their instincts and ride out the rocky patches, knowing things will improve because of the conviction you have in the people you hired and empowered.
So who did they hire at this point?
This was in January of 2019. This was when the Nets were going on that fun run. It's a very fun season. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate what he was saying. And yeah. In his defense, he was right about everything he right. said. Because and then things changed.
Because they were relevant.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they weren't.
All right, here we go. Just caught the ending of Rocky V on a channel switch.
Uh-huh.
Screw public sentiment. That street fight scene was awesome. All right. Something about Alan Hahn. Who cares?
I was wrong.
Something about John Minko. Nope. Oh, you want to hear him take a shot at you?
Go ahead.
All right. Tapping the brakes on momentum when I have to explain a Rocky reference to my partner.
Because I didn't watch any of the after the first two. I think I got the three. Was Apollo Creed in three?
No. Number three is with Clubber Lang and with Hogan as a Thunderlips.
Well, no. Apollo is in Rocky.
No, but he doesn't.
Three.
He meant, does he fight him? As, that's the way I interpret
it. Yeah,
no. He fights him in one and two.
Got in fact, okay. Apollo dies in Rocky three.
Yeah. He
because
dies.
Because Mr. T kills him.
Yes. No. Dummy. No.
Yes, am I wrong?
Ivan Drago.
Drago
oh, Drago. I'm sorry. You're right. I got that messed up.
Can you say that one more time?
Lugie I'm a loser. I got that wrong.
This is why I'm a generational talent.
I have to admit, I haven't seen any. I saw the newer Rocky. What was it? No, I'm sorry. Creed. I saw Creed.
Creed.
Which I liked. I haven't seen any of the Rockies in, I got to tell you, like a decade.
That was my issue. I hadn't seen them in so long, I'd forgotten all of them.
Because I've seen, and that's a proof that I forget it too, because I just messed up that reference. But if I was given rankings, to me, Rocky III was one of my favorites. And Sal put him dead last.
Mm.
I have not found a Rocky rankings from
Brandon.
Maybe we just
talked about it.
But I will say this, Brandon has tweeted the word Rocky quite a bit over his career. I mean, a lot of them. And most of them have no reference to the actual movie Rocky. So there you go.
By the way, Evan, I agree with you. Three is awesome. Five with Tommy Guns is dreadful, hideous. It's the worst one. Creed, all of them, if you rank all of them, Rocky Five is the worst. I think Rocky Four with Drago, where Apollo Creed dies, is better than a lot of people think, but three should be higher on that.
You
list.
Know which one actually is? I don't want to say it was bad, because I don't know if like literally any of them were bad outside of Rocky Five. I didn't love Rocky Two. I'm surprised that he put that number one.
No, I like it a lot.
Did
so I would just, yeah, I would push back on that.
I think Rocky one was good. Rocky three, four, and one are probably my three favorites.
And Rocky Balboa, where Rocky's older, is awesome. And then the Creed ones, which are an extension, are sensational.
Yeah. That's a different kind of filmmaking, too.
For sure.
No doubt. All right, here's your final tweet so we can get over with this. this is from October 7, 2013. Blood sheets. Blood stains on the sheet at the Atlanta Hyatt. Nothing says gross more than that. Welcome to Atlanta. Wow. So, and there's a picture that's included of blood on sheets. Ugh. So who tweeted that out? Was it Boomer Esiason? Was it Brandon Tierney? Was it Jerry Recco? Or was it Greg Giannotti?
I'm going to say that was Recco.
You're wrong.
That's a great guess because Jerry travels a lot.
He travels all the time.
So I like your thinking on that, but it is not Jerry Recco. I'll give you a second choice.
What was the date again?
This was October 7th, 2013.
Huh.
So Boomer's traveling, and Boomer. I don't know about Greg or Brandon.
Then it's had to be Boomer.
Extremely narpy.
It's not Boomer. You're wrong.
What?
No. The answer is Greg Giannotti. I need to know how that blood ended up there.
And what was he doing in Atlanta?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he was covering Pitt football. I don't know. The point is, he saw blood on his sheets and he tweeted it. And I'm looking at it and I can't get over this. Would you stay in that room if you went into a hotel room and saw blood on your sheets?
You'd just call. You'd call him and get him to change it.
Would you?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be afraid there was a murder there a few days earlier?
Or it could have been something else.
It could have been a lot of things.
hold on a second, Evan.
You're wrong.
Boomer tweeted that.
Yeah.
I have the tweet right in front of me.
Oh, my. You know what? I screwed it up. You're right. It's Boomer Esiason.
Yeah. When you said it was traveling, it had to be someone who was traveling, and Boomer did. He did games.
No, you're right. I'm looking at the tweet now. I don't know why I got that wrong. That was actually Boomer Esiason, and he found blood on his sheets while in Atlanta, probably doing a Monday night game. Now, if you're Boomer, do you check
definitely.
Out?
Definitely. No, you don't check out. You just ask for a different room. And since he's Boomer and he's likely staying in the penthouse suite, he probably has to downgrade his room.
I didn't even think about it that way. So if you're traveling and there's blood on your sheets, you're just making the pivot to
because
change
your
sheets.
Somebody got killed or something in there.
Yeah.
There's probably not enough blood with that little trickle.
I'll never forget, and I probably shouldn't have done this, but I went to spring training a few years ago. It was actually more than a few years ago. It was over a decade ago. And I got there on a Friday night, and I was very excited because, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was a Nets game I was really wanting to watch. It may have been Darren Williams' debut after they traded for him. Something of that nature. And so I check in. I'm about to watch the game. I got my Chipotle. I'm all pumped up. I walk into the room. It had never been cleaned. The sheets are everywhere. There's cigarettes because it was a smoking room that is still, like, kind of smelly. And I had to make a decision. What do I do? Do I ask for a new room or do I watch the Nets and eat my Chipotle? And I was so hungry for my Chipotle and I was so excited to watch the Nets game. I actually spent the night in the disgusting room.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know. I ended up not sleeping on the bed because it was so just horrible.
Yeah.
So I slept on a chair.
Just the thought of it was probably discouraging.
Yeah. That was it. All right. There it is. Another edition of Posted and Toasted. Toll free number 888-808-1019. Peter is calling from Manhattan. How you doing, Peter?
How you doing, Tom? Yeah, I just have two comments. I just picked up something you said before. So you were talking about the Braves 2021 making the right moves. Now, the difference, however, between 21 and now is you have that extra wild card team.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the way it is now, it seems like you have a lot more buyers, a lot less sellers. So you were talking about the Braves making four key moves.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very difficult for not only the Yankees, any team to make, you know, not four key moves, even two key moves.
Well,
I mean, take a look how many buyers you could have.
No, Peter,
now,
Peter, I
and
think
how many
you,
sellers. I mean, look at relief pitching.
Peter,
many,
I think
how many quality relief? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I think you make a really good point, but I want to counter with specifics. There are teams in baseball, the Colorado Rockies, the Angels of Anaheim, the Oakland A's, the Miami Marlins, who are clear sellers. Mm. And there are pieces on those teams, and I've used some of those names, whether it's Ryan McMahon, whether it's Luis Ranjifo, whether it's Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah.
All those guys are going to be moved. So while you're right overall with your point that there are going to be less sellers than buyers, and does that bring up the expense and what it's going to cost to trade for those guys? Absolutely. But those guys are available. And tell me if I'm crazy. If you added, let's just say all three of them, and that may not be realistic, but let's just say they did. You wouldn't feel very different about the New York Yankee lineup adding those three pieces?
Well, without a doubt you would, because it feels like it gives all those things we were just talking about, either depth or insurance against injury to one of your reliable guys. And these guys are vets. But, he's right, and he's also a little bit wrong, because I think we're getting to the point where it's now probably seven or eight teams that are clearly not going to make runs. They are definitely going to be sellers, right? Because they're in the 30s, like the Angels and the A's, Colorado, Miami, the White Sox, and then Toronto's on that border. But I mean, do you see them surging their way?
No,
back?
They should sell.
Okay, so they should sell. I mean, Washington is even close, but not really. So there's a lot of teams. And Washington's already said there's probably eight or nine teams that are sellers already.
Yeah, I think that there are the guarantees. So the guarantees are the Chicago White Sox, the Oakland A's, the LA Angels, the Marlins, and the Rockies.
Yeah.
That's five teams that, no doubt about it, they are sellers. And then you've got the others like Toronto, who should and probably will.
Did you say Chicago?
I didn't say them. No, the White Sox, yes. Yeah. The White Sox.
Right.
I think the Cubs are on that level of, should they?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. Are they close to? Probably. I think for teams like that, you're going to maybe wait until the last couple of days just to see where you are.
Yes.
Just to see, are we close? And it doesn't mean you're going to buy. It just means you're not going to
less. Yeah, because you think about the Central. I mean, Chicago and Cincy and Pittsburgh, they're all like right there. They're all basically the same record-wise. And I don't know if you are full. And you did some things in the offseason that make you feel like we should be better. Kind of like the Mets. But the Mets didn't do anything in the offseason. But they have that mentality. We should be better. And we are. And so they're sitting in the same situation that the Mets are.
I am just arguing with our last caller that despite how many teams you think are going to sell or not, I just gave you names of guys that are very likely to be traded that are great fits for the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's it going to cost? I don't know. That's the tough part. Look, the difficult thing I heard, I didn't actually hear him say it, but while I'm away, I get updated. People like to tell me, can you believe that Sean said this? Can you believe that Loogie did that? Can you believe Tiki said this? So one of the things I got was, can you believe, not to pick on anybody that's not here, but can you believe that Sean said the Mets should trade J.D. Martinez?
Mm.
Now, here's the thing that's very difficult. Let me give you a nuanced opinion on that.
That he's probably not wrong?
it's not that here's what it comes down to. The Mets shouldn't trade J.D. Martinez. That's the kind of move that when you trade him, you're basically giving up. Mm-hmm. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
As much as you can call up Rhett Beatty and give him at-bats, and yes, I guess he in theory could be hot, when you trade J.D. Martinez, that's a give-up move. And I understand, like, if the Mets lose 5 out of 6 on this homestand, and all of a sudden they're 5 games under .500, are we having a different discussion a week from now? Maybe we are. But here's where things can change. Let's say, and the Yankees aren't the right example, but let's say, name any random team in Major League Baseball. Doesn't matter.
Minnesota.
The Minnesota Twins call me up, and they say, we need J.D. Martinez.
Yeah. I mean, they're 4 games out or 5 games out in the Central.
Now, they're not really a fit for him because they have a DH, but whatever. That doesn't even matter.
Right.
And they offered me a top prospect, like a legit one, like a top 100 prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Am I now having conversations about it? I am. Is it a very difficult decision? It is. It's where the black and white, you can't trade him, yes, you can, discussion goes into a major gray area.
Well, what if it's the Yankees?
Like, what if they're offering me Spencer Jones?
Yeah.
I'd probably say, this is going to suck for a lot of our fans, but we'll see you later, pal.
Right, because when you think about it, who could the Yankees really use right now?
Yeah, probably not a DH only because Giancarlo's going to come back.
Yeah, but...
But I get your point, and that's where things get difficult. And if you don't believe me, like Loogie doesn't believe me, and there's some Met fans who don't believe me, let me quote a very wise man, a man who's never been wrong, a man who is very famous for a lot of his really powerful quotes. And that man, you could Google him in case you're not familiar. His name is Ted DiBiase. And what he used to say is, everybody has a price. Ha, 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 ha. For the $1 million man. And so, everybody's got a price. That's good. So as much as I wouldn't...
How do you have that one and not any of the other ones that we've asked for over the last 2 days?
No. I don't know.
Chaz Jism.
There you go.
There you go.
He's available. We talked about him yesterday. You guys want Chaz Chisholm?
Chazrado Hermes Arrington Chisholm.
You want him? You guys interested? I tell you, I'm intrigued by Chaz Chisholm for the New York Yankees. Not intrigued for him for the Mets. The Mets and Yankees are different. But for the Yankees, I think that would give you some excitement, some electricity, some speed. I mean, the freaking Yankees have gone 17 years without stealing a base. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
17 years. Like, I didn't even think that was possible. I'm being sarcastic. I'm taking the 19 games and I'm like multiplying a lot, just so you know.
I hear you.
Real quick, we got to take a couple calls. I apologize. And then SNY is going to come on. I'm going to tell you the final piece for the Nick puzzle. Tiki's going to laugh and then say, you're right, Evan. That's a great idea. You're such a wonderful IBO. And we'll all have a good time. But let us go to Scott, New Jersey. What's up, Scott?
Hey, I stayed at the lovely Ascot in outside the Tropicana in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in a corner room. And there were blinds on the wall. And it made no sense. That's when we moved them and found the gunshot hole.
And what'd you do? Did you stay or leave?
Did a lot of things that we shouldn't do until very late in the morning and never went to bed.
Nice.
That's
nice.
A good idea.
Right, let's stay out of this room. The question is, were the gunshot holes coming in or out?
That's a great question. I think that at times when you finally get into a hotel room and you've done a lot of stuff that night, do you really want to call the front desk and change a room?
No.
Like, there comes a point where you're like, you know what?
I'm just going to bed.
Yeah. I'm good. Or I'm not going to bed.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing that night. Samantha's calling from Connecticut. What's up, Samantha?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm really excited to talk to Evan, actually.
Wow. I'm excited. Thank you. What's up?
So this past weekend, I went to the Dave Matthews concert in Saratoga with my boyfriend.
DMV.
During the day. Yep, it was really great. So during the day, I stopped at this little bookstore in Saratoga, and I was looking around. I thought of you, and I decided to look in the sports section. There was one copy left of your book, The Mets Bible.
Wow.
And I bought it for my boyfriend, but I actually kind of bought it for myself, too.
Nice.
And I flipped through. I read a few pages, and it's really good. I can't wait to read it in its entirety because I was just kind of skipping through chapters. So, yeah, I just wanted to compliment you on that.
Well, that's very
also
nice of you. Thank you.
I was wondering if you could settle a debate between me and my boyfriend.
Yes.
While you were in London, I called in. Now, here's the thing. I'm from Queens, predominantly, like, lived there my whole life. I moved to Connecticut literally a year ago. So when I called in, they said, you know, what's your name and where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, oh, I'm Samantha from Queens. My boyfriend heard me on the air, and he was, like, so mad at me. He goes, you're not from Queens anymore. You're from Connecticut. But I'm like, well, that's where I'm from. He's like, no, it's where you're calling from at the moment. So if you could just settle that little debate.
Wow.
When they ask, is it where you're from, where you've lived most of your life, or is it where you're currently calling from?
I am so glad. First of all, thank you very much for buying the book. I appreciate that. Thank you for the kind words. That is a great question, because I am sure there are many people listening, some who have called before,
yep,
some who will call at some point. And that is a question they want to know the answer to. I will give you my opinion. Teague will give you his opinion. But then really the opinion that matters is Tommy Lugauer.
Tommy, producer.
Because Tommy picks up the phone.
Yes.
And I think...
What do you say when you pick up the phone?
So I go, fan, do you want to speak to Evan and Tiki? And then I go, all right, what's your name? Where are you calling from? And then we get into
where are you calling from?
I say, where are you? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Not where are you from.
Correct.
So do you side with Samantha's boyfriend that she needed to be more honest and say Connecticut? Mm-hmm. Or do you accept that, well, I'm from Queens?
Well, Chris Pryor was from Philly, and now he wants to be identified as in Barnegat because that's where he's living and wants to be identified from. So it's where are you calling from currently, correct?
Yes and no. So we've all listened to the station for years. We know there are people that call a lot, and they get associated with where they call from, right? The late, great Bruce in Bayside.
Sure.
If Bruce moved to Florida, I'd go, Bruce, you're Bruce in Bayside. I'm not going to say Bruce from, you know, whatever, Tampa. So if you're a regular, I like to keep it like that because people associate that. If you're just calling in for the first time or don't call often, it's whatever you want. It's your choice.
Yeah, I agree. This is 2024. We get to make our own choices about a lot of things.
So the answer,
and I certainly think that where you're from is where you want to be from.
So, Samantha, the answer is... where do you want to be identified from?
Queens.
And if you call frequently enough, you will be Samantha from Queens.
That's right.
And
so,
we'll remember it.
So the moral of the story is Samantha right, Samantha boyfriend completely wrong.
Yeah, and correct. It sounds so much better. Hey, Samantha from Queens.
Yeah.
Instead of Samantha from Stamford.
Yeah, Connecticut. That wants to be from Connecticut.
I don't know exactly where she is from Connecticut, but whatever.
Doesn't even matter. Like, it's one of those places where you just say Connecticut, and it's like, it's kind of boring. No offense.
From Old Greenwich.
Oh, what, is there a new Greenwich?
But my kids and my ex-wife are in Old Greenwich.
Gotcha. Well, Samantha, you win, your boyfriend loses. But really, you both win because you have a brand new edition of My Mets Bible.
And you win,
say
too.
Say my name, bitch!
Because all those books were sold out, they got the last copy.
Or the store bought one copy. I don't know the answer.
They're just selling the audio version.
Oh, yes.
Voiced by Evan Roberts.
Which you can buy on Amazon.